You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports and Network. We've got a triple threat Tuesday on the program today. Full house. The professor, Dave Malinsky, steps up and in and joins us. Jake Seeley throws it down with us. The Tony Cincotta joins us on the program. We're talking football. And football. We're talking football from a gambling perspective. We're talking football from a fantasy perspective. A lot of fantasy talk on the show today. We're going to focus in on the running backs. And in fact, we're going to take a look at the week one regular season DraftKings lineup and take a look at some of the running backs that catch our eyes, some of the running backs that might be overpriced. We'll see what Tony Cincotta has to say about that. We're going to talk running backs with Jake Seeley from a season-long perspective. How do you approach a draft? You know, I think a lot of people, you know, we don't talk enough about the basics, actually, here at the Fantasy Sports Network, the fundamentals, so to speak, and there are different approaches. You know, we'll tell you, if you're new to fantasy football, don't take a quarterback with your first pick, all right? Look, Aaron Rodgers, he's pretty good. You know, so stuff like that. But I want to pick Jake's brain a little bit as far as the two wide receiver theory, you know, whether you go with a running back, or wide receiver running back per se. And my whole deal is, I don't like the running backs. I don't. You know, I like the top running backs. All those middle-tier running backs, everyone from like 6 to 10, I kind of cringe when I think about having them on my football team. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like Jordan Howard, but do I really want to have $3,600 riding on Jordan Howard every Sunday? Probably not. And I actually like a lot of these guys in the 15 range. So I'm going to see if Jake thinks I'm crazy to just kick back and wait as far as the running backs are concerned. Let everybody else overreach for the Ajayis and the Howards of the world, and I can step up and in and take a Dalvin Cook of the world. Yes, I like Dalvin Cook that much. He's going ADP 20 right now. Too far. Dalvin Cook's a freaking steal. We're talking running backs with everybody. So let's get right down to business on the program today. It's an exciting time right now. It's an exciting time to be a football fan, man. If you're a college football fan, college kickoff is less than 2 weeks away. The college football season is right around the corner. If you're a fantasy football fan, hey, everybody's got fantasy football fever right now. Although we've warned you. Fantasy football drafts are a lot like, it's sort of like what time of the day you're going to start drinking. You know what I mean? You know, let's say it's a Saturday, you know you're going to start drinking. If you're kind of sane and you're not a degenerate alcoholic, you're probably waiting until like 7 o'clock at night or something like that, right? You know, if you're an alcoholic, and I've been there before where I've started, man, at 9 in the morning, et cetera. I remember in the old days, New Year's Eve. You know, New Year's Eve to me, I wouldn't start. I would start partying when the Sun Bowl was on at 2:30 in the afternoon. I was like, well, the Sun Bowl's on, New Year's Eve has started. And that was the beginning of my New Year's Eve. So, I, you know, it's like you want the drink, but you better wait. Wait till happy hour, so to speak. You know, wait till happy hour. You know, if you bring your little flask to work, you probably got a problem. So wait till after work is my point. But similar situation with fantasy football drafts. Everybody, oh, when's the draft? Let's have a draft. Are you guys paying freaking attention to the carnage going on in the National Football League right now? You got to wait, man. You've got to wait. And I'm going to wait until after that Connor Floyd fight. I'm going to start having drafts like on the 28th, 29th, and the 30th because, you know, really the following week is just a little bit too late. No one wants to have a draft 2 days before the damn season starts, right? I think it's on that Thursday night against Kansas City and New England. No one's, you know, going to have a draft on the Tuesday night before that. So you got to freaking wait. But anyways, great time of the year to be a football fan. Hope springs eternal. Hey, they're happy in San Francisco. They've got Lynch. They've got Shanahan. I see John Fox is talking about Tebow Mania. And Mitch Trubisky, they're booking parades on Michigan Avenue right now in Chicago for Mitch Trubisky. Ryan Pace went from a dumbass who traded up to get Trubisky to a genius. And Trubisky went from somebody who was getting booed at Chicago Bull games to, oh, no, he's the next savior right now. So, you know, there's a lot of happy fans, and there's a lot of goodwill right now across the National Football League. That is, of course, unless you're a Buffalo Bill fan. And I got to wonder, for the love of God, man, out of all the freaking teams in the National Football League, why did I become a Buffalo Bill fan? And why must I be so loyal? Why can't I be so, like so many of you that just jump on bandwagons over the years and stuff like that? I've been a Buffalo Bill fan since the late 70s. It was about 1978 or so. And the twisted thing about this is, it's not like the Bills were good then. All right? They were the Bills. I remember that they made the playoffs. It was the greatest thing. Oh, my God, we're 10-6. Ooh, Joe Ferguson, Chuck Knox and stuff. Wow. They've never been good. Like, when I was a kid, I'm thinking back to this. I thought about this yesterday. I'm like, why the hell didn't I just become a Dallas Cowboy fan? I loved their cheerleaders when I was a kid. They were in the damn Super Bowl every year. The Pittsburgh Steelers were winning Super Bowls every year when I was a kid in the 70s and in the late 70s. It was the Cowboys and the Steelers every damn year. It was the same two teams. You know, somehow, no, I got to be a Buffalo Bill fan. And you know what? I thought I was cool when I was a Buffalo Bill fan in the late 80s, into the early 90s when we were going to Super Bowls. And you know what? We lost the Super Bowls. I made a ton of money getting there. But we can't even get to the damn playoffs now. Like, it's past. Like, the Bills used to be a laughing stock in the sense that, those are the guys that lost four straight Super Bowls. Now the Bills haven't made the playoffs since, like, 2000. Ever since that stupid Music City freaking miracle. Of course, that would happen against the Bills. And it was a forward pass. It was a forward pass, but whatever. If I was in Buffalo, they would have called it back. It was in Tennessee. It is what it is. I live with it. Never should have started Johnson. Shouldn't have screwed over Doug Flutie. But you see what I'm saying? We can go on and on. But nevertheless, I was actually in the minority last week in liking what the Buffalo Bills did. I told everybody, Sammy Watkins is a diva, all right? Sammy Watkins talks a lot, but he doesn't deliver. How many of you guys trusted Sammy Watkins on your fantasy football team this year? Not many, right? Yet you wanted the Buffalo Bills to trust him in reality on their reality football team. The Buffalo Bills knew what they were doing in getting rid of Sammy Watkins. And I also think that a lot of people out there are stupid, and they follow the pack. They don't think for themselves. Oh, Jordan Matthews. Oh, Jordan Matthews is a bust. Yeah, Jordan Matthews is a bust. You know, in the 3 years of the National Football League, the same amount that Watkins and Matthews have been in the league together, Matthews has 50 more catches and two more touchdowns. He's averaging 75 catches a year, and we all know wide receivers don't even become good until year 3 and 4 in the National Football League. All right? Jordan Matthews is a baller. All right? I was happy with Jordan Matthews. I think the Buffalo Bill wide receiver corps is stronger now than it was in past years. You know, let the Rams have them, man. You want Woods? You want Watkins? Take them. We'll take Bolden, Zay Jones, and Jordan Matthews. The only problem is Jordan Matthews, who never gets hurt, somehow got hurt in his first practice with the Buffalo Bills. How is this possible? Like, what's the deal? Like, is it the air in Buffalo? Is it the damn uniforms? Do we need to change colors in the uniforms? I remember a couple of years ago during that color rush, the Bills came out with red, and everyone's freaking out. Oh, they're red. They're red. Yeah, you know what? Good. You know, I would dress like the inmates in Sheriff Joe Arpaio's prison there, the prison camp. Put them in polka dots for all I give a crap at this point in time. It's pretty clear the red, white, and blue crap ain't working, all right? So I don't know what it is, man. I can't figure it out. Is it the city? Is it the fact the stadium's on a burial ground? Is it just, it's one of these baffling things and mysterious things that we'll never figure out. I used to think the Bills would win before I would die, but probably not. Like, I'm closer to death than they are closer to winning, unfortunately. Isn't it fun being a Buffalo Bill fan? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA Award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Do Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, so as we stated, we've got football fever, man. We got fantasy football fever. We've got betting football fever. We've got contest fever. We're going to Vegas in a couple of weeks to enter a bunch of contests. We're entering the Super Contest probably a couple of times. We were going to enter the Golden Nugget Contest, but I just don't think the payout is worth it for the amount of money that it costs to enter the contest. We're going to enter a bunch of Will Hill college football pick'em contests. So we've got football fever right now. We're talking football from all aspects on the program today. Tony Sincotta is going to join us. We're going to talk DraftKings Week 1. We're already on top of it, boys. Last week, we talked about the quarterbacks. Today, we're going to talk about Week 1 running backs. Look at the prices. Who catches our eye? It's never too early to start breaking that down. Jake Seeley's going to join us. We're going to talk some NFL fantasy football draft strategy when it comes to the running back position for those of you that are playing in some high-roll cash leagues. And we're going to talk some NFL football from a betting and an analytic perspective right now with the man that I call the professor. You can find his daily column over at sportsbookreview.com, sbrpicks.com. We'll get you there as well. Dave Malinsky. How you doing, Dave?
You know, Gabe, in your intro, you had talked about the word fever attaching to the NFL. What sort of delirious fever has to invade somebody's psyche when they choose to be a Buffalo Bills fan? This wasn't forced on you. You have made a choice.
You know, Dave, when I grew up, too, in those days, you know, it was the Steelers and the Cowboys every year. Like, it seemed, and, you know, the Rams against the Steelers. The Steelers were the team, and they were the public team in those days. And you grew up in that area, Dave, so you know. But, you know, the Mean Joe Green, the Coke ad, Terry Bradshaw was a star, Cannonball Run, etc. But it's funny, when I think of my youth, actually, I think of those two teams only, really. And then, you know what, the Orange Crush Denver Broncos were pretty good, but they got smacked in the Super Bowl at the time. But, like, basically from 75 to 80, Dave, and I started watching the football in about 77, really got into it in the 78 and 79 eras. You know, but the Steelers and the Cowboys ruled the league. Two powerhouses that I probably would have had a good time following over the years.
Well, think about how much different life would have been, because are you essentially the social poster child that shows what happens when you root for the Buffalo Bills too long?
Well, you know what? I'm not as the real sociology experiment are, you know, why do those people pour mustard on each other and slam each other through tables before the games? And I think that sort of explains it, Dave.
But you know what? There is reason for optimism in Buffalo this year, largely because you already know one-fourth of your entire schedule is against the Jet quarterbacks and Jay Cutler.
Yep. And
so there's a little optimism there.
And I think that we're already a couple of wins better. I think the Buffalo Bills won 15 games in the last 2 years, the 8 and the 7. I think they did that despite Rex Ryan. I think they're better off. Even though Sean McDermott has never been a coach in the National Football League, I grade him as a better coach than Rex Ryan already.
For 2017, absolutely. And there was a point in time for Ryan, both tactically and in the way he motivated players. That's not the current game. So Ryan was probably 5 or 6 years past his expiration date as an NFL coach.
And we saw a very similar situation with Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher was a good NFL coach. The game had passed him by. You know, the pass-happy National Football League had passed him by. He had a difficult time relating to younger players. Jeff Fisher did over the past couple of years. So this leads me into the Chicago Bears, in which you've written about over at sportsbookreview.com. And I almost see a similar situation with John Fox. You know, John Fox is a good football man, but it seems like Ryan Pace, who's a young guy who's half the age of John Fox is. How old is Pace? 31, 32, 33, whatever he is, the general manager of the Bears? He's an extremely young guy. John Fox is an old guy. Pace doesn't even tell him about the Trubisky deal and what he's up to on draft night. Doesn't lead me to believe that there's a lot of synergy between these two, Dave, and that, you know, is John Fox one of these? If John Fox gets removed in Chicago, let's say at the end of the year even, I think it's inevitable, but let's say he does he get hired again, Dave? I'm thinking probably not.
this might be the last go-round. And that's why what we focused on with the Bears is this is an odd situation for Fox to be in. In that they're already seeing in camp, okay, Glennon and Trubisky are different quarterbacks. We want to do different things for them. Well, if you want to develop an offense for Mitch Trubisky, tweak your playbook, you got a chance to go 3-13 or 4-12, but potentially be good next year. Well, guess what? If you go 4-12, you don't have a next year if you're John Fox. So he's caught in this conundrum. Do I have to go 8-8 to survive, or am I allowed to do the right thing for long-term development? That's going to be real awkward because even though the Bears are better than they were last year, the talent's deeper, they're going to be healthy, they're probably not favored until at least week 10. You know, they're going to open up as an underdog 9 times in a row. That is really, really hard. So Fox is sort of painted into a corner. Do you play Trubisky for the long term, or do you try to save your job?
And for the record, I've been informed, Ryan Pace, thanks to Tyler Warman, Pace is 39 years old. I confused him with McVay. I think McVay's 31 or something, the coach with the Rams now. Nevertheless, and John Fox is 62. It is interesting, and especially, Dave, you know, we saw after the first preseason game, and John Fox brought it up. He said, hey, this reminds me of Tebow mania, the way the media is freaking out over a player with Trubisky right now. And Trubisky got booed at a Bulls game a couple of months ago. And now people are calling for him to be the starter already. Glennon didn't help himself, Dave, by throwing a bloody pick six on his first play in a Bears uniform. It is an interesting spot. It's almost, you know, to me, Pace needs to go to Fox and tell him, listen, you're good, all right? You know, we're not looking to push you out the door. We want to develop Trubisky, and we want you to be part of it. It doesn't seem to me like that conversation's been had.
No, I mean, there's already so much speculation in the Chicago media, and this is a difficult thing to have to deal with every day as a coach. I mean, they're talking about Bob Stoops and other candidates already. So imagine if you had to get up and come to work every day, and on your way into the studio, you're reading in one of the Toronto papers that they got some young guy preparing to replace Morenci in a few months. That's awkward. It's awkward enough for the coach, but it also means the players see the same thing. And in the social media age, everybody sees everything. So if the players are seeing that there's speculation that Fox may be out, they don't have to buy in. Their job is more secure than his. So when Fox says, you know what, I need you to stay after practice and do something, players ought to say, hey, you stay after practice, pal. I'm going home.
I'm not going to put you in the hot seat right now, but their win total is 5.5, plus 135 to the over, minus 165 to the under for the Chicago Bears. When I did my team preview, I had them going under the number, Dave. And yeah, I know Fox is a good coach, and teams generally improve, and the talent pool is better there right now, but you mentioned it. Those first 8 weeks of the season, they might be lucky to win 2 games, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, they're guaranteed to be favored twice all season. Home games against San Francisco
Cleveland. Look at this. Against Atlanta, at Tampa, versus Pittsburgh, at Green Bay. That's 0-4. That's 0-4. Then you got the Green Bay Packers, 0-5. You're not beating the Vikings, 0-6. You're going to Baltimore, I don't know, maybe. Versus Carolina, maybe. At New Orleans, no chance. Bye week against the Packers again in week 10. This is a damn tough schedule. Like, I look at this, where do the wins come from?
So what you want to think is, okay, if I can go long term, let me go ahead and play Trubisky. Yeah, the schedule's tough, but he'll get to learn. Because the one thing that I think they sort of assumed all along, and they know from training camp, because it wasn't just Glenn being lousy against the Broncos. That's the Glenn they've seen in practice. I think they already know we could never get to the playoffs with Glennon as our
Mark Sanchez has been the best guy in camp.
And that is the truth. And you might actually... Now, the thing is, you can't start Sanchez ahead of Glennon because that's just...
You never should have signed Glennon. You just should have signed Sanchez. And that's Sanchez keeping the seat warm for Trubisky.
And that's what happens when we talk about management inside of franchises. If you're prepared to make good decisions, if you know all along that you think you want Mitch Trubisky, Glennon doesn't happen. So there is a mistake inside there. It's going to cost them PR. It's going to cost them money. Here's what it's costing them, though, right now. Every snap that Glennon takes with the first team in practice is costing development. Now, Glennon's a fine backup quarterback. He could be in the league the next 10 years. He's a solid number two. He's a great number three. But if he's taking snaps as a number one, that's not developing your football team in any way.
And you know what will happen, Dave? You know, we saw that. We saw Russell Wilson, and then other teams wonder, how come my young quarterback doesn't win a Super Bowl? And now we saw Dak Prescott last year. It doesn't always work out that way. But if, and there's a domino effect, Dave, if let's say in Chicago, Glennon's playing and they're losing and they're 0-4, people are going to start calling for Trubisky, especially if a Deshaun Watson's already playing in a Houston or Deshaun Kaiser's playing in a Cleveland. Then that fan base goes, look, these guys are building for the future with the kid. How come we're not doing the same thing? So it's, you know, there is a domino effect as well, Dave.
Yeah, that's why at some point, we wrote about this in Point Blank for this way, at some point we're going to be watching very carefully what ownership is saying to Fox during the season. If there comes a point where the Bears are 1-6, and they say, you know what, John, you're coming back next year no matter what.
Yeah.
You're coming back. Then you go to Trubisky the very next day, because here's what's nice from a team momentum standpoint. Those games with the 49ers and Browns, those are at home. You get a chance for your rookie quarterback to get a couple of wins in front of the home fans late. You can build off of that, but John Fox doesn't want to build off of that if it's for Bob Stoops.
The Detroit Lions, I look at, you know, Jim Caldwell is often criticized, or maybe doesn't get the credit that he deserves, but you look at the Detroit Lion roster, it's a miracle they get to the playoffs. Like, it really is, Dave. Their win total is 7.5. I read your article, well done as always. But some numbers that I didn't even realize. Zero sacks from the linebackers last year. I like the Davis pick out of Florida. That's going to help that. Lions allowing 72.7% completion rate to opposing quarterbacks. And I don't really know if they did much to address that. Yet their offense is very efficient. And can they get a ground game? You know, with the 6 years that Matt Stafford's been there, Dave, the Lions have averaged the 27th rushing attack in the NFL. They've never had a ground game since Sanders left. It's never been a priority for them. This year, they feel like Amir Abdullah could be that guy. Are you buying in? We're going to talk about Amir from a fantasy standpoint more on the show, guys. But, Dave, are you buying into Amir Abdullah? Can he change? Can he help his football team?
This is a big topic because one of the reasons why they didn't reach out for help in the offseason is they're saying, look, we like what we saw from him before he got hurt. And you know what? He's had a good camp. So do we trust their personnel people? Well, they stood up and said, look, we like what we have here. We think we already have our guy. That's going to be so important. So he's liable to be one of the better fantasy sleepers out there, large, because if he stays healthy, he gets a lot of touches because nobody else in their running back rotation has earned touches.
What do you make of the win total at 7.5?
Boy, it's going to be real difficult. You talked about that completion percentage they allowed. Not only was that the all-time NFL worst, but one of the things you want to do when you got teams at the top or the bottom, look for the separation between them and the rest of the league. They allowed 72.7. No one else in the NFL was above 67.1. They weren't just the worst. They were the worst by a huge margin. The problem is the defensive line might have been the NFL's worst last year, except this year's defensive line is worse than last year's.
Yeah.
The two guys that got the most snaps last year were Taylor and Hyder. Well, Taylor's playing for the Giants now. Hyder went down with an Achilles injury Sunday. He's out for the season. You've just lost your two best pass-rushing defensive ends. Nagata is in his mid-30s now. He plays like he's in his mid-40s. They don't have depth. They don't have talent. It's going to be hard for them to play 500 ball game.
All right, Dave, we're getting the hook right now, but quickly, there's a baseball game tonight. I can't believe Bartolo Colon's won his last couple of starts. Salazar and Colon tonight.
We wrote about Salazar in Point Blank because, you know, he's been inconsistent in the past, a guy who always flashes something. And just when you think he's over the top, then he falls off. You know, at his four starts since coming off the DL, he has been as good as any pitcher in the sport. That's how good he's throwing. What he's done since he came back, a lot more fastballs. So this is just a fluky cycle. This is someone who's committed to something. I want to stay on the Salazar bandwagon. Now, it's not cheap tonight, but I want to stay on his bandwagon right now.
If you want to make yourself smarter, go over to sportsbookreview.com and read Dave Malinsky's daily column, point blank. It's right there on the front page. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, and if you want to make yourself smarter, don't be a Bills fan.
Thanks for that. I have nothing. No comeback for that. Thanks, Dave. There's Dave Malinsky, a cold. Jake Seeley joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Tony Sincotta will join us in a couple of moments. We're going to talk about week one of the National Football League from a DFS perspective, from the running back position. Last week, we talked quarterbacks, and it was a very, very popular segment. I guess we'll do next week. We'll do wide receivers as well. But I'm in a running back frame of mind today. And let's bring in Jake Seeley right now. Talk some running backs from a season-long perspective. Get some draft strategy from Jake as well. But before we do, speaking of draft strategy, make yourself smarter, guys. Win your fantasy leagues. RotoExperts.com/discount. The promo code, Jakey. Or promo code, RAGE. Either way, you get 10% off. And either way, since I'm not getting a cut, I encourage you to use Jakey or Rage. Either way, it's all good. Right, Jake?
Yeah, like I said, leave it to our boss to come up with that one. Jake, it's from the movie, not another team movie. Jakey about to make a big mistakey.
All right. Well, I hope you're not making a lot of big mistakeys on this segment right now, because we need winners, Jake. We need some expert advice from the accuracy expert. So you know what? I look at the board this year, and I look at the players this year. I see a lot of quarterbacks. Like I look at them, I'm like, man, I like this guy this year. I think this guy too, a big sleeper. Like this guy, like that guy. I look at wide receivers. I like a ton of them. Like I'm thinking when I'm drafting, I'll be happy, and yeah, you know what? I can let the chips fall where they may. And I like a lot of these guys anyways. I look at the running backs, man. I don't like them, Jake. I don't know what it is. I just cringe at each and every one of them almost. I really do this year.
Well, you see, and that's why I'm saying you need to go get one of the bell cows in the first two rounds, because there is such a drop-off between them and everybody else. I mean, as soon as you get outside the top 12 or 13, you're already talking about timeshares. You're talking about people that you don't know what their touches are going to be every single week. You're talking about actually committees for some cases with three running backs. You're talking about poor offensive lines, question marks everywhere. So if you don't come out of the first two rounds, maybe if you're drafting at the turn, you can take early third round and you go wide receiver. But that's why I've done it for years on end. I continually preach it, bell cow running back. I think this year, as we saw last year, it's more important than ever, is you just got to go get one that you can trust, because after those 12 or 13, you can't trust anybody.
Well, you know, I look, though, and I take it a step higher even. You know, all right, you got Le'Veon Bell. Never mind the fact that Le'Veon's not in camp right now. Nobody seems to be too concerned about that. You got Le'Veon Bell. I'm a big David Johnson fan. I think Johnson's going to have he's going to be a huge part of their offense once again. Ezekiel Elliott's sort of out of the equation right now. LeSean McCoy. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, so I always expect the worst for guys getting hurt or bad stuff happening. But especially now with the wide receiver position at Buffalo, and Tyrod Taylor, on paper, it looks good with Matthews, Bolden, and Zay Jones. But the fact is, Jake, he's never thrown a regular season pass to any one of these guys before.
So yeah, but I'm not worried about that when it comes to LeSean McCoy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. McCoy, yeah. It helps him even more, I think. Like, McCoy in week one might touch the ball 30 times against the Jets. Like, he's going to get a freaking lot of touches early in the season, man.
And see, that's what you're looking for. When people hear bell cow, like, that also doesn't necessarily mean workhorse. Like, for, okay, McCoy's situation, he's a workhorse. But bell cow, fantasy-wise, you can be a running back who only gets 20 touches per game as long as you're that consistent usage every single week. That's where that bell cow in fantasy comes from, is you're going to get usage every week, and you don't have to worry about the guy only getting six this one week or being left out of the equation altogether. Like, a perfect, you go back to it, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, the reason they're so great is because even if they only get 13 touches one week, well, they're getting seven receptions, so you don't have to worry about that. But you're right, McCoy's one of them. I go down the list, I keep going, you know, I got
Isn't
Melvin.
There a cutoff, though, Jake, after that? Like, I don't trust Melvin Gordon right there. I think it's way too high.
I don't have any problem with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah,
what
has he done in his career to justify him being elevated to being the fourth best running back in the NFL from a fantasy perspective? Why? Because Anthony Lynn's there, and Anthony Lynn's a running back coach? That, oh, there's an, like, really? Do you think Phillip Rivers is going to stop throwing the football all the time? Like, are they going to change anything? Wiz and Hunt's their offensive coordinator. Anthony Lynn's not even calling the damn plays. He was a running backs coach. It doesn't mean he's going to run the ball 80 times a game.
No, it does. It doesn't need to change. He does what he does last year. It didn't change. They were passing, but when they got inside the 5-yard line, Melvin Gordon ran the ball a ton of times. He actually, most of his touchdowns came within 3 yards. So it just shows to prove that they were going to Melvin Gordon when it came to the red zone, when it came to the fact that they're at the goal line. That's why you can trust him. Everybody just wants to remember the rookie season, and they're worried that, okay, now we have one terrible, one great season, which is it going to be again? But even if this offense keeps churning like it does, Phillip Rivers is going to be passing a ton. You're 100% right, but that's why he's going to have plenty of scoring opportunities. I have no qualms about Melvin Gordon.
You like Jordan Howard this year?
Yep.
I was a big Jordan Howard fan last year when no one really knew about him. You know, talk about a bell cow workhorse. Although they do have a more talented wide receiver depth pool there right now. What do you make of Jordan Howard this year?
I love Jordan Howard. I was a big fan of his last year. And you look at that offensive line. Pro Football Focus gives him a top 5 offensive line in the league. For everybody that wants to talk about the Browns and the Cowboys, Jordan Howard is behind one of the best. And everybody's like, oh, well, what if the quarterback situation sucks this year and Mike Glennon can't do anything, or they're not going to be passing the ball and Kevin White can't stay healthy? Okay, let's go back to last year. Did that affect Jordan Howard last year? And in Jordan Howard, in basically what was 11 true starts, was the RB9 on the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's for real. I know. He's a good football player. He's a good point as far as the line. All right, DeMarco Murray, any concern? Does Derrick Henry get more touches this year? And let's look at the Titans, Jake. They're stacked at the wide receiver position now. They really spent a lot of money at the wide receiver position, which leads me to believe they want to throw the ball.
No, not this team. This team, you know, is the exotic smash mouth. They did, but I just think that's going to make them a little bit more balanced. I actually do expect Derrick Henry to get a few more touches this season, but I don't think it's going to affect DeMarco Murray enough to be bumped out of the top 10, because I wrote an article about this last year with inside the red zone. And you look at inside the 20% of teams' rushes, and then inside the 10, and then inside the 5, like I kept going deeper. DeMarco Murray actually went up at each level. He was above 50, then above 60, then above 70%. So everybody assuming that Derrick Henry was taking those touches last year, it's actually the exact opposite of what you would think. He was getting more work the closer they got to the goal line. So even if Derrick Henry gets more touches this year, I'm not worried about DeMarco Murray. He is another one that I would definitely consider an RB1.
I don't know if Goff is going to be able to get the football to Watkins, Austin, and Woods. But,
he won't.
Yeah, but hey, it's a better decoy at least, right? There is speed on the field now. So if you took, you know, if you just take everybody, you take all 11 guys, you put them in a box, Watkins and Austin could conceivably beat you. So you're going to have a problem there. So it leads me to Todd Gurley, and I'm here, and he's running violently. He's angry. He looks great, etc. Are you buying into Todd Gurley? Because I sort of was, actually, because I was thinking, you know what, a lot of people think he sucks. They're going to give up on him. I'm not ready to give up on this guy. What do you make of Gurley coming into the year? That 3.2 yards per clip, man, sticks out pretty ugly.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. He better be running angry after what he performed like last year. And I know part of that are people are going to say it was the offensive line and the offense, and Jared Goff is going to hurt anybody. Jared Goff wasn't at quarterback the entire year, and you can't put it all on the line. There were some faults of his own where he was inefficient. He actually had a very high red zone rushing percentage for his team and still wasn't converting a lot of them. Again, you can go back to the offensive line, but 2 years ago in his rookie season, didn't seem to be causing any problems. And I think that's what you go back to. That's where I am buying in a little bit. We saw the talent. He was my number one running back in that draft class. There's for a reason. It's all there. But the fact is, last year, he took a step back as well as the part of the offense. I think he's somewhere in between the two. I don't know. Maybe he's ever going to get back to that rookie spectacular run he had. But even that year, he slowed down a little bit towards the end of the season. And that's why I think he's better than last year. But I don't think he's ever going to be that top five running back that people thought they were getting last year.
Really good football teams are often difficult fantasy football teams because they have a lot of weapons and they diversify their portfolio. Case in point, the New England Patriots. Brady likes to spread it around. You've got Cooks in there now. You're going to have Gronkowski back, although, you know, who knows for how long at this point with Gronk. But I want to ask you, you talk about teams running the ball and let's say inside the five-yard line, the New England Patriots, even though they have Tom Brady, they run the ball in the red zone. They run the ball inside the five-yard line more than anybody. LeGarrette Blount feasted, was able to eat 18 touchdowns up. Are people sleeping on Gillislee coming into this year?
No, they should stop trying to draft him so high. What have I said since day one in this very network? I say it every single year in this network. If you want to draft the Patriots running back, you deserve to lose your league. And when people are taking Gillislee in the fourth and the fifth round, you deserve to lose your league. Look at it. Deion Lewis is getting first-team reps. James White was the Super Bowl darling. They signed Rex Burkhead, who they're also giving first and second-down reps to. I understand Gillislee looks to be the best option. I understand the appeal of what LeGarrette Blount did last year with the rushing touchdowns. But if you think there's going to be any predictability in this backfield with four legitimate options, you're out of your mind. And it's Bill Belichick. We had one season after 10 straight years of frustration of Belichick, and all of a sudden people are thinking it's going to be all okay.
I've repeated myself over and over, so I don't want to be redundant, but I love Dalvin Cook. People who watch the show are aware of this. ADP 20, 40th overall. I'd gladly have him as my RB2. I think he's going to be a massive part of this offense this year, Jake. It's very rare that you get a kid that's already number one on the depth chart, and it's not like there's a ton of weapons we have to worry about of competing factors. Bradford loves to dump it off. The line isn't great. Cook is very good when he can catch a football, and he's good after with the yaks, the yards after the catch, etc. I like him. I think there's good value with where he's being drafted, too.
I'm a big Cook fan. Everybody got hung up on the combine and just ignored what he did for three straight years and even more at Florida State. And just look at the fact of the talent of what's coming out there. And you mentioned it. In fact, he's already been claimed to be the number one in this team. Latavius Murray is a backup. He already missed time to an injury, but he was going to be the backup anyway. I actually have Dalvin Cook as a fringe RB1, and it wouldn't surprise me if he nears top 10 value this year.
No, I want him part of my team. And quickly, we got less than a minute here, but listen, you've been a big C.J. Anderson fan over the years. I've been a big C.J. Anderson fan. They don't win the Super Bowl without him. But he might be a better reality player than fantasy player. But I just bring him up because he's going right behind Dalvin Cook right here. That, you know, 20 right there, 21 ADP, 41. What do you make of CJ?
He's okay. He and I broke up last year. We're not buds anymore.
Yeah, you got to let some people go. It's like me and Cam Newton. I had to let him go.
No, I can't do it anymore. RB3, I'll do that.
All right, rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code Jakey or promo code RAGE. Thanks, Jake.
No problem.
Tony Cincata joins us next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk week one NFL DFS from a DraftKings perspective. Let's talk running backs. Last week, we talked quarterbacks. We'll get to some wide receivers next week. But before we do, let us remind you, if you want to win your fantasy football league, go to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Get 10% off you're going to win your league, all right? You're going to win cash. It's only going to cost you like $35 or something like that. You're going to get all kinds of expert opinion and advice for season-long, for DFS, for everything else in between. It's a great package with a bunch of people that are smarter than I am. Promo code RAGE or promo code TONY for the star of the Fantasy Sports Network, the Tony Cincata, with the new show on the Dish Network, Monday to Friday, 6 to 7. Fantasy Sports Network, Dish Network, and all the other mediums. Channel 266, lineup lock live with Tony Cincata and Dane Martinez. They help you put your DFS lineups together. Tony Cincata steps up. And what's up, Tony?
I'm doing all right, except for last night. We got off to a bad start as Colorado and Atlanta play in Coors Field. We have a 3-0 game with a guy coming back from cancer, Chad Bettis. Great, great start. I doubted him. I should have never doubted a cancer survivor.
You know, you shouldn't have. A buddy of mine that lives in Denver actually went to the game, tweeted me before the game, and said if he can beat cancer, he can beat the Braves.
Yep, absolutely.
Sometimes it just writes itself, Tony. You got to follow the wave. Life isn't always a Disney movie, but, you know, once in a while, he'll get rocked in his next start. Watch. That's the way it'll work. All right, but let's get down to business. Let's talk some NFL. Let's talk week one running backs. And I just talked with Jake Seeley about the running back position from a season-long perspective in drafts, and I'm not a big running back fan this year. There's a lot of guys where I sort of cringe at, and I'm not one of these guys that looks at rankings like a religion. I couldn't tell Jake that because rankings are his religion, right? Because I told Jake, I told him off the air, I said, you know, Jake, I don't see any difference between the guys you have 7th and the guys 13th. He was like, no, I don't know about that. I'm like, really? You trust Todd Gurley a lot more than Isaiah Crowell? I don't.
They come within 2 points of each other. It's crazy. But Jake, give him credit. He does what he does well. He just likes that a lot more than women. I'm the other way around.
I like them all. You know, I like women, so I need to win in fantasy so I get money, right? Otherwise, there's no. It's all correlated. All right, so let's jump in here. Week one. Le'Veon Bell is the most expensive running back on the board. $9,800. All right, that's all right. But you know what? Le'Veon Bell's not even in freaking camp right now. He's going to be there. He'll probably show up, like, you know, the week before the season starts type of deal. I'm not in a hurry to spend $9,800 here, though.
I think you can, though. If you want to spend the money, last year they scored 24 points against the Cleveland Browns, but he had 37 fantasy points, so that's 4 times the value.
I know.
Out of the top salary guys, he'd be the one I get there. And, I'm one of these guys, Gabe. I don't really care for Le'Veon Bell getting spring training, getting into preseason, because the holes are the same since he's been in Pop Warner. So just get out there and be healthy on game one. I don't want to pay for the other guys in that bracket, though, the David Johnsons. I think they have tougher matchups than the Cleveland Browns, who were 31st in the league against running backs last season.
See, that's interesting, and we do agree in that sense, because we both agreed there's no Ben Roethlisberger's their most expensive quarterback in week one because he's playing against the Browns. I'm not buying into that. I think that's ridiculous and preposterous. I do understand the Le'Veon Bell, and if you recall, I wasn't kidding, Tony. I put together a lineup last night. I didn't hit click. I was just sort of, all right, feeling it out with Carson Wentz as my quarterback. And, you know, put my money where my mouth is. I said, if we take Carson Wentz at 5,300, I can afford to spend some money on some big name guys. And I spent it. You just said you don't like David Johnson. I do. Look, the Lions were ranked 18th versus the rush last year, 19th versus the pass. You know, sort of worse than average in both. They didn't improve either. Ton of injuries on an offensive line. I think David Johnson has a massive first game. I like John Brown this year, but he's already banged up again.
Yeah.
J.J. Nelson, we don't really know what you're going to get. I think Fitzgerald will get some catches. I think it is a David Johnson show. So I'll tell you what, just for the record, I got Carson Wentz as a quarterback, and I took David Johnson and Shady McCoy as my running backs.
Shady McCoy, I was talking about him. He's going to be top 5 in running back touches this year, easy, without even the goal line situations that we haven't had defined by the Buffalo Bills yet. He had 15 touchdowns last year without the goal line carries. Can you imagine what he could have if he gets them this year? He could be special. And I think in a PPR format such as DraftKings, he is big in week one.
And I'll tell you what, you look at week one, Sean McDermott, first game. It's a home game, very winnable game against the New York Jets.
Yes.
Tyrod Taylor has 3 quarterbacks he's never thrown a pass to before. He's getting acclimated with Bolden right now. Matthews is already hurt with the chips Thurnum. And then you got a rookie in Zay Jones. McDermott is going to want to win this game so badly. McCoy's going to get the ball 25 times in his game. Yeah, they really like they're going to grind out a win, and it's going to be the LeSean McCoy show in week one. I think LeSean is, if you're going to spend the money, I think the $8,200 is worth it. DeMarco Murray, $7,400 against the Raiders. Raiders were ranked 23rd against the run, gave up $117 last year. Should be a higher scoring game. Freeman, $7,000 against the Bears at Chicago. They were soft against the run. 27th against the rush last year, 121 yards a game. Jay Ajayi gets the Bucks. Jordan Howard gets the Falcons. McFadden, $6,100. But I tell you what, the Giants ain't easy to run on, Tony.
No, they're not. Very good defense. I think we got better bargains there. I like a couple guys in the $5,000 range. I don't know what we're going to get from Eddie McCaffrey this year. His son, Christian, right?
Yeah.
Eddie McCaffrey, the
former Denver Broncos. And he opens up against San Francisco,
that's
the worst
I mean.
Damn run defense in the league. But
yeah,
Jonathan Stewart might rush for 112.
You got to play him. They got to see what they got with this kid. Game one, it's like an extra preseason game. It's like the fifth preseason game for Carolina. They got to take advantage and see what they got with this kid.
Yeah, not to mention, where did he play college football? Stanford. This is a home game for him. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. His first game is at home. Like, but, you know, Jonathan Stewart's going to be a part of that. All right, so I'm looking at a guy. We're talking about name guys here. Jay Ajayi, $6,500. Howard is $6,300 against the Falcons, although the Falcons could be up big in that game. I'm not buying in with McFadden at $6,100. Gurley against the Colts, does that intrigue you?
I love that. I love that matchup. I think that offense is better. I only saw one game. We only saw them out there one series, so maybe we're reading in too much. They bring in Sammy Watkins. They got some decent plays around there. Todd Gurley is a guy that went from, as the graphic says, 4.8 yards to 3.2 per carry last year. I think he's somewhere in between, but I think he gets the ball 25, 28 times. This year, they're going to incorporate him in the passing game, which Jeff Fisher wouldn't. Todd Gurley is a good play in week one.
Yeah, you know what? At $6,000 against that Colt defense, if there's ever a team, if he's going to do it, he can do it against this Colt defense, giving up 120 a game on the ground last year, ranked 25th in the National Football League. The Colts did have a nice defensive draft, and the Colts are toughening up. They got rid of, there's a new GM there. The Grigson's out. There's Ballard guys in. They're going to get much tougher, so the character of that team is going to change, but it's going to take a while. A guy that catches my eye here, what do you think it is, Tony? $5,200. Danny Woodhead, kind of flying under the radar here.
The only problem with that on today is Joe Flacco has to be back at quarterback. You look at what's going on with this offense. People don't realize that last year, Joe Flacco only threw one less pass than Drew Brees.
Yeah.
That's how many times he chucked it. He only averaged 5 or 6 yards per pass attempt, but that's okay. We want to throw it to the running back.
Yeah, he threw like 620 times or something. Yeah.
Yeah, this fits in perfect for Danny Woodhead. But Flacco has to be at quarterback. I feel less enthusiastic if you put Ryan Mallett out there.
You know, it's funny you say that, too, because I was reading some quotes from Flacco, and he was talking about how great Woodhead is at catching a pass. He's like, it's unbelievable. I can throw it behind his head. You know, he can go out of the slot. And you're right, Flacco. And we see that with Flacco. We've seen guys get a ton of targets. He'll lock into a guy, and he'll throw it 4 or 5 yards to you. He doesn't care.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big season for them offensively, but it'll be a small passing game, and I don't think they'll go down the field a lot. As long as Joe Flacco can stay healthy, though, they need him in that realm. He's a good quarterback. A lot of people don't realize that.
All right, so we encourage you to check out Tony Sincotta and Dane Martinez, 6-7 on the Fantasy Sports Network, Dish Network, channel 266. Lineup lock live. Thanks for the time, Tony.
You're the man.
There's Tony Sincotta with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. As we stated yesterday, guys, recreational plays until football season gets here. We did all right last night. We hit a couple of underdogs. Let's keep it rolling tonight. Hey, listen, the Angels are red hot, and our boy Meany's actually at the game. So get it done for Meany and his old man, man. You know what? The Angels are great against the National League. They've won 35 of their last 52, 35-17. They're 6-1 their last seven against Southpaw pitchers. Give me the Angels tonight. I was wrong last night with the Rays. Give me the Jays. The Rays are cold. The Jays are hot. Give me the Jays. Speaking of hot, give me the St. Louis Cardinals, plus 125. I don't trust Porcello laying a price. Kansas City Royals. I give you guys the Royals on a daily basis. They used to win for us every night. They got cold, but I think they're going to go on a little bit of a streak again last night. They got it done for us last night as an underdog. We'll lay the price as a short favorite tonight at minus 120. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Dodgers are never really in a good spot, but you know what? It's against the White Sox here. How motivated are the Dodgers? It's Alex Wood on the hill. We'll lay the run and a half. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.